Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, if it's your first time with us, if you're a guest today, thanks for being with us. Let me introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And we are starting we're starting a brand new series today called Find Your Fit. So I have a question for you. It's that season. Some of you have been packing up kids, sending them off to school. So when's the last time you tried to make something fit somewhere it wasn't designed to fit? Because we do that when we pack, right? We just try to cram stuff in. You ever tried to put your bag in the overhead bin in the plane after the flight attendant told you it was full? And you were like, watch this. And say you just broke somebody else's stuff because you just pushed it in. You ever tried to force your way, like maybe you have an SUV and the only spot available was a compact spot. And you were like, oh, I can do this. And then you couldn't get out of your car. Any of you ever spent 5 minutes trying to fish around a television and put in the HDMI cable, try to make it fit, and it never fits, right? Have you thought about this? You have a 50-50 chance of picking the right direction every time. I've never picked the right direction one time. It defies all logic. It makes no sense. But we try to make it fit. Or how about this? When you walked in today, you should have received a puzzle piece. And that's not a secret. You knew it was a puzzle piece. It looks like a puzzle piece. Now, here's some things I think about you because I know you. Some of you just put this in your pocket and didn't even think about it. But others of you, you have been trying to figure out the whole time, why do they hand me a puzzle piece? And if you've thought about this piece, I'm just going to assume you've thought a bunch of things, right? You've wondered, what does the puzzle look like? You've wondered, where does it fit? You've wondered, how does it fit? But I bet there's one question none of you thought of. None of you asked, does it fit somewhere? Because it's a puzzle piece. And a puzzle piece, by its very nature, fits somewhere. Now, I'm not a puzzle person. Do we have any puzzle people in the room? You can own it, puzzle people. Right, so we got some puzzle people. I've been told you don't do a puzzle. I've been told you work a puzzle. Is this a thing you're familiar with, or is this just like Southern Alabama? But when you're working a puzzle, when you find the pieces, you look and you try to figure it out. But I'm curious, have you ever had a puzzle with a piece that you determined was defective? We got a yes on that one. All right. Probably not. I think it just didn't fit. But, well, okay, there's one. For most of us, we just assume if it's in the box, it fits. We don't know where yet. We don't know how. We got to work that puzzle. But eventually, we're going to find it's fit. That's the way we naturally think about puzzle pieces. Because you can look at a puzzle piece and you can tell someone planned it, someone designed it, someone ordered it, someone had it cut out. By the nature of its existing, it fits somewhere. Now, what's interesting is we can all nod along and we can all understand, yep, that is exactly the way it works with a puzzle. If the piece exists, it fits, even if we haven't found it yet. But isn't it interesting? Maybe it's just me. But when I don't fit, when a relationship doesn't work out, when a job doesn't work out, when something I wanted kind of falls apart, when I feel like I don't fit, I never assume there's another place waiting. I assume I'm a defective piece. I don't think I'm alone. When the relationship fails, we often blame ourselves. When the job doesn't work out, we often blame ourselves. I'm curious. Don't raise your hand. This is not a participation question. This is a think about it in your head question. I'm curious, did any of you show up to church today feeling like the defective piece somewhere? Some areas of my life I've got it, but the rest, I don't fit. I'm not sure I belong. When you look at your career, you look at relationships, you look at opportunities, you kind of feel like Taylor Swift. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I probably butchered that quote. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift. But hey, can I be serious for a minute? Seriously? If that was you, if you woke up today feeling defective, can you look at me for a minute? I know it's hard. Can you look at me for a minute? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud you got out of bed. I'm so proud you got dressed. I'm so proud you came to church. Because I know it was hard. And what you didn't know is what God knew, is that the very message your heart needed is what we're going to start talking about today. In fact, it's what we're going to spend the next 3 weeks on. The series is called Find Your Fit. And the core of the series is really one simple truth that if you call yourself a Christ follower, you probably know this, you experience it from time to time, but we all go through moments and seasons where we don't feel like we fit, we don't feel like we belong, and we inherently blame ourselves. We wonder if we're a mistake. We wonder if we're just broken. We wonder if we're defective. And if you hear nothing else today, man, I hope you hear this. The God of the universe created you on purpose for a purpose. You are not defective. You are not a mistake. You are not broken. Though life maybe has tried to break you, if you are here this morning, if you're watching online, if you have a pulse, I can assure you, you have a purpose. Now, you should not take my word for it. It's not what we do here. But I hope over the next few weeks, as we walk through some of what God says about us in his gift to us, we call the Bible, as we walk through that, my hope is that God's truth will either remind some of us or inspire some of us to step into the purpose we were created for. Because here's what I can promise. The key to a satisfying life is to walk in the purpose God created you for. Because when we are operating in his plan and his purpose, that's when we experience that peace that passes understanding, that satisfaction, that contentment that we're all searching for. But again, I don't want you to take my word for it. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. And in fact, if you call Wellspring home, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a typical week one sermon. The goal is to get us all leaning in, all wrestling with attention. And I'm going to leave you with a question. So if you're new today, there's a chance you're going to leave with more questions than answers. That's by design. See, it turns out adults are busy. We're doing lots of things. We grow at a very slow pace. So what we do at our church is we try to break it down and make it very simple so that we can hear from God, experience what he wants, and take a step. And so starting today, what we're going to do for the next few weeks is just walk through God's plan. Because I know some of you are like, all right, well, if God has a purpose for me, what is it? How do I discover it? And the answer is you read his word. In both the Old and the New Testament, we see example after example after example of how much God loves us and his plan for our life. But what I want to do today is I want to take us to one letter in our New Testament written by a guy named Paul. And if you call Wellspring home, we talk about Paul a lot because he wrote about half what we call the New Testament. Paul was a pastor. He would move around and he would start churches and then he would appoint leaders and then he would move to a new area and start churches. And he'd write these churches letters to give them instructions And at the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, which is where we're going to be today, he makes a really interesting claim. That's why I want to take you there first. Because if you're new to faith or if you're new to church, you're probably wondering, why should we listen to this guy named Paul? I thought church was about Jesus. Who's Paul? And so rather than me answer, I'm going to let Paul answer for himself. Because here's how he opens his letter. This is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, you don't know what that means, so let me explain. The apostles were men who spoke to Jesus. The apostles were men who were called by Jesus to carry out his message. And so what Paul is saying when he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus, what he's saying is, what you are about to read aren't my thoughts. What you are about to read aren't my words. I am writing what Jesus told me to write. I am communicating his thoughts. I am communicating his plan for your life. And he's writing this to the church in Ephesus. He says, I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. So what Paul is writing is a letter to Christians to remind them of God's plan for their life. And so if you're here this morning, you don't consider yourself a Christian, we are so honored that you're here, and we hope you will lean in, because here's what we know. We know that this is true. And you're here kind of checking things out. And so we want to present to you the truth as well, because we hope that as you discover who Jesus is and you discover what Jesus actually promises, that you'll make the decision so many of us have, which is to place our faith in him. And so that's Ephesians. That's why we're going there. That's why we're going to turn to it. That's who Paul is. That's why we listen to Paul. So let's see what Paul has to say. If God loves us and God has a plan, what is it? Here's what Paul says. Even before he made the world. I love this because Paul goes back. Paul's saying, look, before God created anything, before the beginning of the world, before what we can document as the Big Bang, before any of that, before anything happened, he wants you to know God existed. God was. It wasn't his beginning. So even before any of that happened, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So before the creation of the world, before anything, God knew you and you and you. And even you guys all the way over on the edges. He knew you. He loved you. And he picked you. He picked you on purpose. Picked me for what? Well, we got to keep reading. See, God decided in advance, before he created anything, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So before God created anything, he knew us, he loved us, he chose us, and this says he made a way to adopt us into his own family through Jesus. So what that means is that God wanted a relationship with us, but for some reason that relationship wasn't possible on its own. He needed a conduit. We needed a connection, and that connection was Jesus. And again, if you call Wellspring home, if you're a Christ follower, you understand what that means. But if you're new to church, if you're new to faith, you can hear that, and you maybe want to raise your hand and say, okay, that's great and all, but can you explain to me? I'm sorry, I'm new. Can you explain how that works? And the cool thing is, it's as if it's when Paul was writing this, because they were going to read this to the church, it's like he realized someone's going to raise their hand and say, hey, how does this work? So a verse later, he explains what this means. How did God adopt us? Well, he says, he's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So he's rich in kindness. He's rich in grace. That's who God is. And because of that, He purchased our freedom with the blood. Talk about that for a moment. Maybe you're here and you hear us sing songs about being washed in the blood, and you look at your spouse and you're like, what is happening? Well, let me explain. What we as Christians believe is that when God created the heavens and the earth, he created humans, and he wanted to have a relationship with us. And that relationship was going to be one of obedience. He created us to follow him. Well, maybe you know the story. He creates Adam and Eve, puts them in the Garden of Eden, gives them one rule, don't eat from this tree. Maybe you know the story. They eat from the tree because that's what humans do. We think we're smarter than God. We think we know more. So we naturally rebel against him. What began in the garden has been going on for all of human history. And that rebellion, when we do something God did not want us to do, we sin. Nobody likes that word, but it's real. A sin is simply any behavior, any act that Jesus says, hey, don't do that. And the reason he says, hey, don't do that is because it's harmful. We say around here, we say sin sabotages our life. And we all know this is true, whether we believe in God or not. Every single one of our deepest regrets, our most shameful moments, things we'd give anything to go back and redo, those were sins. Those were things that God, if he could have stopped us, he would have said, hey, don't do that. But we chose to sin. And not only does sin sabotage, sin separates. Because the God of the universe is perfect. He is holy. So he can't be around rebellion. He can't be around sin. In fact, because he is a perfectly just God, the only just action is to destroy sin. So God creates the world, puts us in it, invites us into a relationship. We say, nah, dog, we're good. And instead of throwing up his hands, he begins the rescue mission through the nation of Israel. And just the right time, he sends his son, Jesus. And Jesus lives a perfect sinless life. He never once steps outside of God's plan, not one time. And maybe you know the story that he's eventually handed over to the Roman government and they nail him to a tree and they crucify him. But maybe you didn't know why. See, he allowed that to happen because the God of the universe did something remarkable. He had to punish sin. He had to destroy sin, but he loved us. So he chose to take the punishment I deserved and you deserved and the whole world deserved once for all time. And he punished his perfect son in our place. See, when Jesus dies on the cross, his last words are, it is finished. Well, his life wasn't finished. He comes back to life in a few days. His mission certainly wasn't finished. We're still carrying it out. What was finished in that moment was the punishment we deserved because it was fully and finally carried out on the cross. The spilling of blood, that sacrifice, is what was required. And then on a Sunday morning, maybe you know the story, he comes back to life as a promise to me and you and anyone who will follow him that he has the power to turn our life around, that he can do anything. And he did all of this, and Paul wrote all of this so that you and I would wake up every day understanding clearly and truly that God created us on purpose for a purpose. From the day you were born, you've had purpose. From the day you were born, you've been loved and pursued by the God of the universe. And sitting here today, if you do not consider yourself a Christian, you are still loved and pursued by the God of the universe, and you still have a purpose. And I know some of you, this is where I lose you. You want to push back, and you want to say, no, I had a purpose. I'll concede that. There was a time in my life I did, but I blew it. I messed up. I blew my marriage up. I blew my career up. You don't understand, man. I'm here today because they want me to come, and the songs kind of make me feel better. But that's it. Like, don't talk to me about purpose and meaning. That's for these other people. These are good people. These people haven't done the things I've done. But sorry, man. You can't be talking to me. That's over. I understand if you feel that way. I do. I think each of us probably have areas of our life where we feel that way. I've tried. I got to give up. Or I don't deserve to walk in God's purpose anymore. I've blown it too much. Yeah, it's just not me. And again, if that's you, I get it. I understand that's how you feel. And your feelings matter. Your feelings are valid. But your feelings are not facts. We know that, right? They're just not. And when our facts and our feelings are in conflict, I think sometimes we need to look at facts and allow facts to change your feelings. Because I know you may feel like you've disqualified yourself. You may feel like God's done with you. You may feel like you don't have a seat at the table anymore. You may feel like your fit has passed. There's no more purpose. Problem is, that doesn't match with the facts that we know. Because here are the facts. A few verses later in chapter 2, Paul kind of returns to this concept of what Jesus did for us, and it's like he wants to shake us and say, "Oh, I don't think you guys get it." And so here's what he writes. He says, "God saved you." I love that. "God saved you by his grace, by his kindness, when you believed." That's it. You were saved because you believed what he said. And I love this. And you can't take credit for it because it's a gift from God. I'm going to read this next verse a few times. So salvation is not a reward. Say it again. Salvation is not a reward. It's not a reward for the good things we've done. Why? So none of us can boast about it. Tell me we don't have a creator who understands us. He knew the second you guys start taking credit for this salvation, you're going to start boasting about it. So he tries to make it abundantly clear. You did not earn this. And here's my point. If we can't earn it, then we can't unearn it. If we can't qualify ourselves through behavior, guess what? We can't disqualify ourselves through behavior. God loved us, and salvation is his gift to us, freely given. We did not earn it, and we certainly don't deserve it. So I'll be singing that song at the beginning. Who am I, God, that you think about me? So what that also means for the Christians in the room, just slightly with love, let me remind us, because you are a Christian, you are not better than anyone else, especially people who haven't found Jesus yet. You are not better than anyone else because you're a Christian. You are not better than anyone else, because you are a Christian. We are all drowning. We grabbed the ladder. They haven't grabbed it yet. That's the difference. He loves them as much as he loves us. He loves us as much as he loves them. So if you're here today and you think you don't deserve God's love, join the club. I don't. I don't deserve it. It's his gift. And the reason it's crucial that we get this right is because of what Paul writes next. The reason we have to understand this is all God's gift is because we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's not me. Nothing to brag about. God loved us. He saves us. And he has a plan for us. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. Because God created you on purpose for a purpose. So we're going to let that sit for a second. Because the next logical question is, all right, what is it? How do I find my purpose? How do I figure all that out? That's a great question. And that's where we will pick up next week. Because the answer is, I believe, here. I believe one of the reasons God created churches is because churches are a place and churches are a collection of people that help us fulfill our purpose. And that's where we'll pick up next week. But for today, I really just want to pause and I want you to ask yourself a question. And you can ask yourself this question if you've been a Christian for 50 years. You can ask yourself this question if your entire knowledge of Jesus is the last 30 minutes. Because it's a question I want you to begin wrestling with, not just today, but this week. Because this question's really what it's all about. And before I read you the question, I want to encourage you, especially if you consider yourself a Christian, don't answer immediately. Sit back and reflect for a moment. Because what our King really wants from us is intimacy. He wants to know us, which is weird because he created us. He does know us, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to lie to God, which doesn't make any sense, but I do it. And so when I read you this question, I want you to step back and really kind of let him answer. And here's the question. If God created me on purpose for a purpose, which he did, am I experiencing it? Are you walking in purpose? Here's another way to think about it. Are you satisfied with your life? Do you wake up each day and understand, God, here's how you're going to use me today. I want to walk in it. Do you go to bed each night saying, God, you use me today. Thank you. And if the answer is yes, amen. Keep going. But if the answer is no, let's talk. If you consider yourself a Christian, but your answer is no, I'm just not experiencing it right now. During our response time in just a moment, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to confess that to Jesus. To say, hey, Jesus, I know you created me on purpose, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. Maybe I did. Maybe I had a season, but I don't know what you want for me right now. Just ask him that question. Just ask him that. And then just wait and just listen. And then give him permission this week to speak. Maybe he'll increase the awareness of some things. And then next Sunday when we regather together to take our next step and we understand exactly what that plan is, our eyes can be open. We'll go, oh, okay, that's what you're doing. So if the answer is yes, man, keep it up. If it's no and you consider yourself a Christian, pray. Ask your King. And then come back next week. But it's also possible in this room that when I ask that question, your answer is no, but it's because you don't know Jesus. It's because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him, but you certainly don't follow him. And I understand, you didn't know who he was. But I've been doing this long enough. I know how the Holy Spirit works. There's a good chance that if you came in the room today not understanding Jesus, something has shifted in your heart now. Maybe for the first time, this story makes sense. You're like, oh, okay. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. Okay. And he wants a relationship with me. He has a purpose for my life. He does. Yes. And to begin that relationship, you simply have to receive what he offers. And so if you would like to become a Christian today, if you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus, I want to walk you through that process right now. So I just want to invite us all to bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. And if today you would say, yes, I want to begin that relationship with Jesus, I want to receive that gift of salvation he's given me. I want to be forgiven for my sins. I want to make him the leader of my life. Then I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. And as I do, you just repeat this prayer in your heart. And you will take your first step into the purpose God created you for. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I didn't know I did. I love you because I need you. And I love you because you loved me first. God, I admit that I have done things my own way. I admit that I've sinned against you. I admit I've tried to act like I knew best, and it didn't work. Jesus, today I believe that you should be the leader of my life. I believe that you came to earth and gave your life so that I could be forgiven. I believe that you came back to life to prove you could turn my life around. And in this moment, I commit my life to you. Thank you for saving me. I make you the leader of my life. And Jesus, I want to follow you into the purpose and plans you have for me. I want you to keep your heads bowed. But if you prayed that prayer with us, we believe something supernatural just happened. We believe that you just became a son or daughter of the King. And as your church, it is our privilege to walk with you as you walk into the purposes God created you for. We'll help. We'll guide you. One of the first things Jesus asks us to do is to go public. And so we always like to give people an opportunity to do that in a very private way. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three. Heads are still bowed. But if you pray with me, I just want you to raise your hand and keep it up just for a few seconds. And if you want a visual, I always like to tell people, imagine that this is your first opportunity of you reaching out to Jesus to say thank you and asking him for guidance. So I'm going to count to three, and then you raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand, shoot them up high, keep them up. Again, it's just as if you're reaching out, saying thank you, claiming this gift, submitting to him, saying I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. Okay. You can put your hands down and look at me for just a second. We're about to enter our response time. This is a time where we sing and we kind of decide how we're going to respond in light of what God said to us today. We always have a prayer team down front. We have communion available. But during this response time, I want you to pray that prayer. If God has a purpose and a plan for my life, am I experiencing it? If the answer is no, ask God what he would have you do next. And hey, if you just prayed with me and you raised your hand during our response time, we would love to meet you. We're going to have a team of volunteers down the back. It's going to take some bravery, but when we stand to sing, if you would just make your way to the aisle and come to the back, we have a room off to the side. We just want to give you a little bit of information, get to know your name, hear your story, and just give you a few things to help begin this journey of following Jesus. Also, pretty cool, we are baptizing today at 3 o'clock at the beach. And if you pray with us today, baptism is your next step, and you can get baptized today if you want to. Again, just during our response time, again, make your way out, or even after the service, you can stop by our next steps area, tell them you pray with me and that you would like to get baptized today. And we would love to help you take that step. Because for all of us, God has a plan. He has a place and he has a people. And we just want to find it. Because when we walk in his plan and his purposes, we experience satisfaction like we never have. And that's what we want for you. That's what we want for all of us. So let's pray. Let's thank our King. And let's respond. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And we thank you that you have a plan for us. We thank you that you love us, that you chose us. Father, today may we respond as you would have us respond. And may every step we take be a step towards your plans and your purposes for our life. We love you. We thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet and respond.